future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
About some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they woke to find their freedom and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored.
Okay, I think we got B Studio. Hold on, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Skype is not being very cooperative with us tonight. Okay, I need to find out, for those of you in the chat room right now, please let me know, either Eagle Flower or Pat Rabbit or Bryce or someone, can you hear Studio B? Please let us know in the chat room. I know there's a two-minute delay, but please let us know if you can hear us. This is Maggie Rose with The Concord Show. Okay, let's see if I can bring... Wow, having a hard time here. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make this happen. Oh my goodness. Let's see if I can get Bronco. I'm going to try to get you now. Folks, if you can hear us, hang in there. We're trying to get Bronco on board with us. They are messing with our Skype tonight.
My internet might be down. Let me check it out. I'm checking it out now.
Okay, I'm going to try to add you right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm calling you right now.
Nothing.
Says Bronco is unavailable.
My internet is down, so let me fiddle with the internet now.
Okay. All right.
With everything else.
Okay, we have Cat Dog Girl with a thumbs up. She can hear us. And we have Bryce giving me hugs. So we are broadcasting. I'm going to keep, while you're messing with that, I'm going to keep you on the phone. Okay, Bronco?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so folks, thank you for tuning in. We've been having some internet and Skype issues, both Bronco down in Monterey and myself just north of him in sunny California. I want to welcome you all here to The Concord Show. Again, this is another edition of The Concord Show here in Studio B at Revolution Radio. We're at www.freedomslips.com. That's www.freedomslips.com. For those of you listening to us around the world, this is international, coming at you at freedomslips.com. We are also at www.talkstreamlive. Again, this is a live edition of The Concord Show. Today's date is February 16th, 2022. I am your host, Maggie Rose. My co-host is Bronco. Some of you have been terming this as the Bronco Brigade and the Maggie Militia. We kind of laugh at that, kind of a chuckle here. I am sorry for those of you that were not able to hear Sammy Mendoza in Studio A, my Monday co-host. He was not feeling very good and was having a hard time with his voice, and so hopefully he'll be able to join us again on Monday. As you all know, Revolution Radio is purely listener-supported. We count on your generous donations to keep us going here. All of us talk show hosts here are volunteers. None of us get paid for what we're doing. And so we really are grateful for anything you can send our way to help keep our equipment updated, making sure that Amit Painter and Mitchell and Pat Rabbit and Mr. Rowe are able to keep the equipment up and running. So, folks, again, thank you for tuning in tonight. It is a little after 7 o'clock on the West Coast and a few minutes after 10 p.m. on the East Coast. The show is a two-hour show. And for those of you just now tuning in, we have a lot to talk about. But we have a special guest coming up right now, and I want to introduce him. I heard about him today from a friend of mine who happens to be there in the Pacific Northwest. And she is somebody that went back with me way back to the days of the Sugar Pine Mine. Many of us were coming from all over the United States to stand up for the miners who had finally struck some gold, and then the federal government decides, oh, we want to take away your gold mine. And so they basically tried to take it away, and people came from all over the country to Grants Pass, Oregon. I myself went up there. Other people came down from Washington State and Oregon to help them. We had people coming from Michigan, Wisconsin, all across the United States to help stand with the gold miners. And one of those was Catherine. And she was at one time very strongly involved with the Oath Keepers, and she's been standing out on the corners of her county Josephine County, holding up signs basically for the truckers, supporting not only the truckers in Canada, but the truckers around the world. And she shared with me some information of some things they've been doing in the last couple weeks, and she introduced me to this gentleman, and I'm going to let him introduce himself with his name and where he's from and exactly what they've been doing. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much. Excuse me. My name is Mike, and I'm assuming you guys can hear me okay. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. So, yeah, so, you know, I am no different than everybody else that's listening to this program. I am a patriot. I am an American, and I believe in my country, and I know that what's taking place and what's happening in front of our eyes is absolutely not right. I've watched small businesses close all across our great nation, but especially in a small community like Grants Pass, Oregon, where you've got mom and pop. You know, we have a Walmart here, but we don't have any other big box stores. And that's what's special about this community. But I've also watched small businesses get closed down because of the bad decisions from our government over the course of the last 2 years. And so, you know, as any other patriot, I've sat back and I've educated myself. I was probably blind, like many of you, up until the last few years. And then, for some reason, my eyes were opened with the amount of corruption that has taken place in our country. But what I really realized is that corruption goes all the way down to the local level, to small towns like Grants Pass, Oregon. You know, we're not immune to the bad things that are happening in our country. This is happening in every little community all over this nation. And unless we, as individuals and as patriots, stand up, they will continue to walk over us. So we have finally figured out a way to say enough is enough. And what I mean by that is I stumbled onto a very unique website, a Telegram channel called Bonds. That's B-O-N-D-S, Bonds for the Win. And if you're not familiar with it, I will tell you, just get on your computer, look it up. This is a movement that is taking this country by storm. And here in Grants Pass, we decided to take action. And so on Monday, one of the movements that took place is on Monday, every county throughout, whether it be Oregon, Nevada, South Carolina, Texas, we had individual patriots, groups of individuals show up at their local county attorney's offices and actually serve papers to this attorney demanding that they do their job. And what that means is they needed to actually file charges against the crimes that have taken place in our country. So this is a grassroots movement that is literally, again, just going crazy across the country. So I would tell you to go to bondsforthewin.com. And then also, I believe it's Constitutional Law Group or Constitutional Law. I don't remember the end of it, but it's .us. But just Google Constitutional Law Group .us, not .com, but .us. They are literally doing the same thing. They're educating we the people on how we can take back control within our local communities. So what we did on Monday was basically tell our county attorney that we as a people have been harmed by what has happened in the last 2 years in our country. So it is up to that county attorney to take it from here and to do his job. If he doesn't do his job, every public official in our country, whether it's the county attorney, the county supervisor, the county commission, the mayor, the city council, the school board, they all have bonds that they have when they take an oath of office to do their job, not only by following the Constitution of the United States, but following the Constitution of every state that they, that you are participating in. So these individuals have not done that. They have taken an oath of office, but they haven't done their job by following their oath. They have literally practiced medicine without a medical license. They have caused children to sit in classrooms that are not able to breathe. These are literally ordinances. If you go and search your city and your state and look at some of the ordinances within your state, you will find in the state of Oregon, there is literally an ordinance that says that children cannot be bound to the point where they're not able to breathe. But what do you think a mask does to these kids?
Now say that again, what you just said. Repeat what you just said again.
So about there is an ordinance in the state of Oregon that literally spells out the fact that a child that is in school cannot be bound or hampered from being able, in other words, they can't be restrained. That's actually the terminology that they use. Well, that's exactly what a mask does when you put that on a child. It restrains you. I mean, have you ever tried to order food from somebody that's wearing a mask? You might as well call Bangladesh. It's not good. And so what we're doing is we're going to hold these officials accountable. Enough is enough. We're tired of playing nice. We're tired of being stepped on and walked over. We are going to take back control of not just the local level, but as we do our job, hopefully others will do theirs, and this will have a trickle-down effect all the way across our country. I as a citizen, I don't even have kids here. My closest child, well, all of my children are grown, but I have 7 grandkids, and all of my grandkids are either in South Carolina or Florida. So I don't have any skin in the game in Josephine County. But I do know that the children that are sitting in these schools are our future. And because they're our future, if we don't stand up for them, then who will? They are literally being brainwashed in these schools. And so we are demanding that these, whether it be the superintendent or the school board, we are demanding that they stop all mandates whatsoever. They stop pushing any types of vaccines. I mean, there are stories where children have gone home to their parents because a teacher told that child that their parents, if they're not vaccinated, that they could be doing harm. There's not a parent out there that needs to hear that from a kid. So there's something wrong with that statement, but that is what's happening in the school systems right now. So we need to put a stop to it. And the bonds for the win, what this is going to do is this is literally going to make these officials stop and think, do I want to continue down this pathway and risk my future career? Because there's going to be, which I hope, is 10, 15 claims against their bond company because they have failed to hold up the oath of office that they swore that they would do. And
that,
ironically,
tell me, is that bonds? Is that bonds, B-O-N-D-S, for the win, or B-O-N-D?
It's B-O-N-D-S for the win.com. Bondsforthewin.com. It is.
And what about your constitutional group? Which one is that?
It's the constitutional. Hang on one second. I'll look it up in just a second. But it's the constitutional. Hang on one second.
So the other is bonds. The other is bonds with an S, right?
That is correct. Bonds with an S, and then the other one is constitutionallawgroup.us. And that is a website that was designed and developed by constitutional lawyers, and they're literally doing the same thing. So someone found a way to instead of so in a nutshell, really what happened is we realized that a lot of the things that we've been trying to do in the court system is not working, right? There's corrupt judges. Our entire system is corrupt. But every one of these public officials have to carry some form of liability protection. And what we are doing is we are holding them accountable because they have not upheld their oath of office and upheld our Constitution, and they have put our children and their citizens in harm's way. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Here in Grants Pass, I'm driving down. There's two major thoroughfares down the middle of Grants Pass. One is 6th Street and one is 7th Street. These are one-way roads. And Grants Pass allows certain organizations, when there's some type of an event taking place, they allow banners to be hung along 6th and 7th Street. Now, these are huge banners that you cannot help but to see, and these are the busiest streets in our community. Well, they had a vaccination event at the Josephine County Fairgrounds, and the city of Grants Pass allowed, I'm not sure what the entity is, but I have requested a FOIA, basically a public request for documents, as to who was responsible for hanging these banners in our city, and why is it that these people, instead of, so here they're promoting a vaccine event, but there was not one mention about the side effects. So how many people, because they saw that banner, decided that they would go up to the county fairground and get vaccinated? But I guarantee you nobody along that journey said anything to that person about what they were sticking in their body and what could possibly happen to them, i.e. death or just, you know, all of these horrific stories that we've been hearing. So every county, every city, every municipality in this country is liable because they allowed this to happen on their watch. And so this is our way of going after them. And instead of going to court, we are using what I think is brilliant planning. We are going after their liability insurance. Every public official, whether they're elected, they have to have a bond. Imagine the bond company when they start to get 5, 10, 15 different claims that are coming in because they failed to do their job. Well, the insurance company, they're liable, or should say obligated, to investigate these claims. So as a public official, that's why I don't know if you've, again, I would urge everyone to get out there, and if you're on Telegram, find the Bonds for the Win channel. What you're going to see is you're going to see success stories that have taken place all over the United States. There was literally this morning, the city of Scottsdale, Arizona, lifted every one of their mandates. And you know, if you've been following along, Scottsdale, their school district has been in the news of lately. And they have made some very bad choices. Well, guess what? They were served in the same manner that I just served the school district here in Josephine County. They were given 1 week to comply with these demands. Do you know what they did this morning?
What did they do?
They dropped every mandate. They're not put, no child has to wear a mask. And so we the people just had a victory. This is repeating itself all over the country.
My gosh.
Yes.
Now, is word getting around to the other school districts around the country that there's been successes like this out of state as well as in your state of Oregon?
Oh, absolutely. It just happened in Illinois. It happened in Las Vegas. This is happening everywhere. There is a Telegram channel. So I would urge everyone, if you're not on Telegram, you can get on the Bonds for the Win website, but if you are on Telegram, every state has their own channel. And then from there, you can hook up with the local people that have done a lot of the legwork. So I've done the legwork for Josephine County. But I have to admit, I was able to utilize a template that someone else in Oregon already prepared. So Kate Brown, our governor, she is going to be served. The entire Oregon Board of Education is going to be served. Anyone that has a hand in all of what we've been experiencing, but most importantly, especially in the schools, what our children have experienced, they are all going to be held liable, and they're either going to make drastic changes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, surely you heard about the three school board members that literally got recalled in San Francisco. That hasn't happened in forever. So we are waking up. We are going to take our country back, but most importantly, we're going to take our schools back, and we're going to give our children the kind of education that they deserve. And if the school system isn't doing it, guess what? Look for alternative ways to educate your children, because it's not all about public schools anymore. We know that they are corrupt. And again, there's a local affiliation here in Josephine County. We have a very, what I would call a very conservative news outlet. And what I love about this news outlet is that they list all the alternative options for schools here in Josephine County. These school systems are bleeding right now. And what I mean by bleeding is they are losing students left and right because of the crazy mindset of these school systems and what our children have been put through. So we've had enough. And again, it's up to you. It's up to me. I'm nobody special. I'm just a guy that has worked my ass off all my life. And, you know, I do what's right. I treat people with respect. That's what I want from anybody that I cross paths with. But at the end of the day, I want the best for me and my neighbors and my country. And if you are in the way of that, we're going to have a problem.
Wow. Whoa. Bronco, what do you say to that? Bronco, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. Hi. What do you say to what Mike just said?
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
It sounds very good. Sounds good, and I like to hear that. You know, what you're doing now, I live in Monterey, California. We did it 2 months ago. And we send them notices. We send about 35 notices, 19 judges, all the board members, all the supervisors, the county, to the sheriff, and four or five, I think, a mayors and the district attorney and the prosecutors. We send about 30, 40, about 10 pages, right? Each one. Registered mail, everything. We required from them to show us the form 700, where their investments are and how much they are. Disclosure, public disclosure of their investments. And also we asked them for oath of office, copy of the oath of office, and also the bond, proof of bond. All of them are elected officials. So the law, actually the statute, demands that they have a bond. So guess what we discovered? We discovered that Monterey County has not had bond on any of them for the last 11 years. So, we're scratching our heads now. How are we going to go after the bond when bond doesn't exist? First, we thought that they were hiding it. We went to their insurance. They pointed out that they have insurance, AIG. And AIG denies that. They send us a response as, no, we do not have bond with them. They have a umbrella insurance. It covers the employee, but not the surety bond, which is a surety for the public against damage. Damage for the public. If the public gets damaged, they have to have this bond. They don't have it. So now we are at the crossroads. Do we go them into de facto corrupt courts to chase them, which we believe nothing is going to happen? Or what do we do? How do we get the justice? And we decided that the quickest way would be that we in California create a grand jury and we supply facts to the sheriffs and all the police and FBI and everybody. They cannot avoid copy to everybody, including the DC, to prosecute because they ought to have a bond according to their laws, not
Absolutely.
To our law. We're the common law, but to their
Absolutely.
Law. So don't know what is going to happen. This is the approach that we are taking because going to the courts is not going to do any good. They're going to postpone it until the cows come home. Back to you guys.
Yes. No, that what you said is exactly right. And so you would want to go directly to your county, whatever county that is in, you would go to their county. And then you would go to the sheriff. The sheriff is the leading official within that community. And so that's exactly where you would go. You know, that's it. I've been advised that, unfortunately, like, for example, the school district here in Grants Pass, Oregon, they sent me a copy because part of our FOIA request was that I wanted a copy of all of their oaths of office. So I get 7 or 8, I believe it is, oaths of office, and only one of them was signed. The rest of them weren't even signed. So now what I'm going to do is I'm literally going to forward every one of those unsigned oaths of office to my sheriff, and I'm going to tell my sheriff, listen, these people, not only are they not upholding the Constitution, but they didn't even go through the trouble to sign their oath of office. I want them removed, and we'll just see what happens. But that is exactly what I'm going to do. That's the very next step that I'm going to do. Most likely I'm doing this tomorrow.
You know what? Our sheriff does not have a bond either.
Oh, that's unheard of.
Which makes the office vacant. So anybody who doesn't have oath of office, doesn't have a bond, cannot fill that position, which makes the office vacant, which makes the last 10 years, all their decisions null and void. Because they have no authority to issue any decisions. I mean, it's so corrupt. It's so crooked here. I don't think we'll be able to straighten until the revolution happens.
Yeah, I'll just say this. I haven't heard that from all the discussions that I've had, so that's very interesting. But surely, I mean, there's got to be some type of recourse in that regard. And I believe that, you know, that needs to be one of those situations where the people have to step up. And I don't mean one or two people, but all of the people. They need to be made aware of this, and then they need to demand action. Because that just doesn't seem, that sounds beyond corrupt. So, anyhow.
What do you say about that, Bronco?
You know, I have been thinking about this one. You know, I cannot see, the law is not going to work on their side. The sheriff is paid. He's on a payroll by the county, by the way. He's not a constitutional sheriff. Because constitutional sheriff is the one who is not being paid by the county. And county is already a corporation. We know that. So he is on a payroll of the corporation. And they have been cutting and cutting and cutting his fund and putting him in the pocket. So the guy cannot move. The present sheriff here in Monterey is corrupt to the bone. We went to serve him. He didn't want to open the door. We had to take a film, a movie, by leaving the package in front of his door there. I mean, unbelievably crooked. So the new one seems to be on our side, seems to be a constitutional, the one, not the new one, pardon me. They will have elections sometimes in June. The one who is candidate for the new position. You know, most of the people say yes, just to get a typical politician. Will he really be on our side or not? I do not know. But I'm with the California Assembly. I'm not a citizen, or I'm a national, put it this way, if you know what I mean. I'm a national, and we want, as nationals, to have a sheriff that is going to protect our rights as nationals, the constitutional rights. We don't want the privileges of the corporate municipal government. We don't care about statutes and all of that stuff. That applies to the citizen, not to us. We have the rights, and we want a sheriff to constitute, to defend it. So if he accepts that, it will be nice. And we're going to supply him with the oath of office, that he will be defending our constitutional rights, the Constitution of the United States of America, the original organic, not this crap from 1871 that is a second constitution that they invented, the corporate constitution. So I saw his oath of office. And here in the county, all of them, including the judges, I saw them, all of them have sworn that they will uphold the Constitution of United States. United States is a corporation. So no wonder nothing works, because they are upholding the laws of the corporation, yeah, not the original Constitution, what we call the Bill of Rights and all of that. No, they are upholding their Constitution 100 years later, 1871 adopted, and it is a corporate constitution. So we are going to tell him, no, we don't want any sheriff that's going to support their constitution and working for them. Then in that case, we're going to have our sheriff. We'll have a job double jurisdiction. You'll be their sheriff. We're going to have our sheriff, period. We're not going to put up with that. So he agreed. I mean, agreed relatively, you know, by words, you know how it is. Don't know what's going to be. The only thing I can think of, if they truly dig their heels, the only thing, a solution, it is the militia. If the militia shows us 200 people in front of the sheriff's office, I think they will get the message. Or in front of the court, I think they will get the message. Possibility that they may send some military unit to beat the militia up, but that is going to be a more than civil war. That is going to be really, really bad for them. And they will end up with the consequences if it happens to that. As far as I'm concerned, I'll take that chance anytime. Personally, I don't want to share any more space with these demons. I'm tired of it. Even if it is a corner, I would like to be left alone. They don't leave me alone. Then I'm going to sharpen my sword personally. So we're going to take care of it one way or another. Back to you guys.
What do you say to that, Mike?
Well, you know, it's that's very interesting, because it sounds like that area that he's in is you know, not, it's a little different than what we're experiencing here. And you know, I have not ever heard where a sheriff or the local leaders have not been bonded, or they haven't, you know, followed or at least taken their oath of office or whatever. But that doesn't sound like a good situation. But at the end of the day, the community, the citizens have to stand up and basically say enough's enough. Because if they don't, you know, until I'll just say this, over the last couple of years, I was probably no different than most everybody else. You know, I voted, I lived my life, I assumed everything was normal. And, you know, when you would see these ginormous bills that they would try to pass in Washington, D.C., I never realized how much crap was in those things. But the last 2 years, the last 2.5 or so years, has literally opened my eyes. And, you know, I've never been so awake than I am right now. You know, now I realize why they add things like transgender studies in Afghanistan, and there's like $30 million going to this study, and it's built into the COVID relief bill. Well, what the hell does that have to do with COVID relief? Well, what I realize is that's how they're laundering money. you know, they're sending these guys $30 million and they're telling them, oh, you know what? You keep five because you didn't have that five in the first place, and we're going to get this other kickback. That is something, you know, when you think about politics, you think about these elections, and then you realize that when somebody, let's say some business person out of California or somebody that decides that they want to run for public office, and then you hear that they spent $50 million of their own money to run for that election. Well, first of all, who in their right mind would do that? But then when you stop and think about what's really happening, that is $50 million that they basically paid to play the game. And then once they get elected, if they buy themselves or cheat themselves into an election, they're going to get that $50 million back in so many ways it's ridiculous. This is something that is just completely boggled my mind over the course of the last few years, and it has taken all that we've had to go through to wake up and understand that, you know what, you either step up or step out. If you're not willing to step up and get involved, then get out of the way and let somebody else do it, because this is getting to the point where if we don't do something now, we're not screwed. Our kids are screwed. Our grandkids are screwed. Can you imagine what they're going to have to come into if we don't do something now to fix this ship? This is not going to end well. But, hey, that's why we're doing what we're doing as we speak. People are having this kind of conversation, and they're educating themselves, and they realize that corruption isn't just at the national level. Corruption is all the way down to your local sheriff, just like that gentleman was stating, and your local school district and your city council. There is no way on the planet that these people are in these positions pushing these agendas if they're not benefiting in some way, somehow. And so we are going to put a stop to it, and I don't give a damn what it takes. I have worked my ass off all my life. I'm 58 years of age. I've got time on my side, and so my job now is to make my grandchildren's future as good as it can possibly be, and the only way I'm going to do that is I've got to have skin in the game. It's not enough to sit on the sidelines and watch somebody else do it. You know, it's just like me. Every Sunday in my community, I go out and pick up trash. Well, I can bitch and moan to my city council all day long about how dirty my community is, because guess what? I've got skin in the game. You know, it's one thing to bitch about something if you're not willing to get your hands dirty. But if you get your hands dirty, you've got the right to bitch and moan. I'm going to do that. And we as citizens of this country, we have the right to moan. We have the right to bitch. But most importantly, we have got to get involved, because if we do not get involved, then what we're seeing now is just going to get enhanced going forward. That's why you've got truckers in Canada. I can't wait. I mean, I think it'll be the most massive demonstration, but can you imagine Washington, D.C., or just the highways across this country clogged with 18-wheelers foaming their way to Washington, D.C. to do what they did in Canada? I hope that we do that. I hope we send a message. And I hope every American gets up, gets off their ass, gets off of their couch, and gets involved in their local community. Because, again, if they don't do it, who will?
Wow. And, Bronco, are we not beginning to see now that when 107 told me to stop worrying about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and marching on the capitals of our various states, which is putting us on the line of fire and allowing the FBI and the CIA to pull the net over us, he's saying start at the very local level in your townships, your cities, your communities, your rural areas, and work from the ground up. Isn't that what you and Mike are doing, Bronco?
Yeah, you know what? The first thing is the militia has to be organized. You got to involve some younger people. I'm 62 years old. I can be somewhat a commander, but I cannot be crawling and you know, doing all these things that, that I used to when I was young. So the militia is a force. And these animals who have the power in the county, the only thing they understand is greed and force. Since we are poor, we cannot bribe them, and it's against our moral makeup to bribe and give a bribe. The only left over to us means of accomplishing is force. So the only thing they would understand is force. And I appeal to everybody to join the militia. When you show up 200 people in front of the sheriff's office or in front of the police department or in front of the mayor, they will be shitting their pants. They have never seen that before. Never. They will not be the same people. God forbid if the shooting starts. If the shooting starts, they must be executed. They must be killed right there. There is no way back. If you decide, or from wherever the commander backs off, he will be hanged. It has to be to the end. Same thing. Washington, D.C. Remember with Trump, January 6th? That was a setup. Trump did the job. That was a setup. If anybody goes to Washington, D.C., they have to take care of the business. No more Washington, D.C. It will not be existing anymore. And all these 500 congressmen and 100 senators, they're all traitors. All, period. So if once, let me repeat it. It's not if. When the thing hits the fan, we have to go to the end. There is no way back. If we hesitate, we will all be hanged. All peaceful, loving taxpayers, good, decent people, we will be killed. We will be killed. Who will be left is the zombies who have no clue what's going on and who in a few years they will die anyway. They will erase us. They'll put some hybrids, some demons, some combination, electronics and human beings, who knows what. We cannot allow them that to do that. We are God's creatures. We have been given dominion, not some demons to rule over us. God's supposed to rule over us and we to rule the rest of the things. What happens now is we are on the bottom. Some spotted owl and some little salmon down there, whatever creature is more important than we. 500 people are locked up since January without charge. What is that? Where is the law? What law? Whose law? There is no law. So the zombies will never get it. If you expect help from the zombies, good luck to you. They are actually so stupid that they will gather rocks and sticks and start throwing at you for not going along with them. You need to wear a mask or two or three and be like them in order to be accepted. Can we be accepted? No, not under those conditions. Can we be left alone? That is all we want. Said, be, leave me alone. Wear your mask, whatever. Leave me alone. No. If you want to school your children, they will come after you. Say, no, 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 you have to send it to a public school to be indoctrinated. Sooner or later, you will have a clash. Now, my point is to everybody, since you're going to have a clash, the chances to win is much bigger if you gather together with people like-minded. So you need to create a network, not to be alone. For them, it's the best to get rid of you when everything is functional. They come and pick you up like a carrot, and nobody notices. You have to have people like you, and as soon as they come and one is missing, you raise the hell. And you go after them. I'm a little bit more militant, but with these animals, you cannot show mercy. And you better not take any prisoners. Back to you guys.
Yep. Mike, go ahead. Come back on that.
Well, this will be my last statement because I'm gonna take off after this, but I'm gonna just tell you everything that he just stated, I agree with 100%. And you know, we have been literally trained to play nice. I am so tired of hearing, let's be peaceful. Let's be, you know, let's not say something that's going to disturb someone. That is what got us into where we're at right now. And when I talk to people in my community, in my park, you know, and we get to talking, and I always say, do you remember the old saying, nice guys finish? And then I let them say it. Nice guys finish where? You know where nice guys finish? They finish last. And so enough of playing nice. We need to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps. We need to take back control. And again, from a local level, because I think that what we've done is we have literally allowed this infiltration that has taken place. And it's, I mean, when have you ever in your lifetime ever sat back and watched the number of videos or the number of stories that have taken place in these little communities all across the country where I've heard some of the craziest statements. Like I just saw a video the other day where it showed a class or a school where they marched all the children down the hallway with Black Lives Matter signs. Or I read a story where they had all the white children, meaning all the children that weren't of color, they had them apologize to the other children. Well, these kids have no idea what they're even doing. But that is the type of brainwashing that's taking place in our schools. Well, you know, if that continues to happen, what do you think these kids grow up to do? They become these type of militants. I mean, there are kids, I'll give you an example. Here in Grants Pass High School, we had an incident that took place recently, and this made the news, and it was basically two educators. We had a science teacher, and we had the vice principal of the middle school, and one of the middle school students, a girl, basically went to the science teacher and said, I no longer want to identify as X, Y, or Z. And these are my pronouns. And by the way, I want to be able to go to the restroom that I identify on whatever day that might be. Well, the science teacher, you know, she basically said, well, you know, what do your parents think? I mean, she's trying to come across as a loving, caring individual because she knows she's dealing with a very confused young lady. And yet this teacher, as well as the principal or the vice principal, were chastised. They were ultimately fired. They have since been rehired because our school board, at least a couple of our school board, had the balls enough to bring this subject back up and ask for a review. And one of the school board members that actually voted to fire them changed his mind, had a change of heart, and realized that he made a mistake. And so these educators were basically put back. They got their jobs back. But I also reviewed recently the school board budget for Grants Pass. And here we are in the middle of a school year where they have lost a number of enrollments because of the craziness that's happening out there. And yet within their budget, gender neutral restrooms budgeted in their budget. Over $1 million that they were going to spend to have restrooms built because maybe one or two kids were confused and didn't really know which restroom they needed to go to. So of course, the type of person that I am, I sent the school board and the superintendent an email and I said, you know, I've got a solution to your problem. Have you ever been to a sporting event or a NASCAR race or a football game where you had to use a porta potty? Well, guess what? Porta potties, for the most part, everyone I've ever gone to are gender neutral. So rather than budget millions of dollars into school, let's put a porta potty. If you want to really do something, add a couple porta potties. And if the kids are confused, that's where they go. You know.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Sure that is a wonderful idea, Mike.
Enough of bowing down and cowering to the minority. You know, that's the problem that we have right now. They are the minority. You know, look at our government, look at Congress, look at our Senate. how many of them are there? There's not that many. You know, less than 1,000. I don't know what the total number is, but I'm pretty sure we outnumber them. And so we need, on a local level, whatever level you want to participate on, but I would encourage you, on a local level, get involved, stop sitting on the sidelines, and hold these people accountable. Again, I'm going to repeat, bondsforthewin.com and constitutionallawgroup.us. They are a wealth of information. Go on Telegram, connect with like-minded individuals, and get involved in your community. Because if you do not do it, they've been preying on us for a really long time. They have been preying on our complicity, on our trust. And I will give it to the enemy. The enemy, it has been very smart, and they're very wise, and they have been eating away at our culture. But you know what they've done is they picked the wrong scab, and this time we are going to take it back, and we are going to stand up, and we are going to get involved, and we're not going to put up with anything else. And if you don't go to school board meetings, and if you don't go to city council meetings, if you don't get involved, then guess what? You have nobody else to blame but yourself. You know, when you point a finger, there's always three fingers coming right back at you.
God bless you, guys. Mike Austin and Mike from Grants Pass, Oregon. Let's bring it back again, Mike.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
You going back in?
Still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, hey, who? Why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. FreedomSlips.com. Number one listener supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science
downloaded to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the game to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest! You tell them I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Welcome back, everybody. We now return to the Concourse Show with your host, Maggie Rose, only at Revolution Radio.
And Bronco of the Broncos Brigade out of Monterey, California.
Okay, how are you doing, Maggie?
Hold on there, Bronco boy. Liana, A Song for Canada, 2015. A Song for Canada. It could be the United States, a song for the U.S. It could be a song for all around the world, all the countries tuning in to Revolution Radio.
Yellow too.
May the walls that divide us do not stand. A song for healing, a song for unity, a song for freedom, a song for Canada. Hey, Bronco.
That was beautiful, Maggie.
I know. Every time I play that, I kind of get a bit weepy because, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I got an email from Helen up in Canada just a few years ago. And this is when I started doing radio with Revolution Radio, which is about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And she said, if the United States falls, so does the rest of the world and so does Canada. And yet it's the Canadians that are taking the bull by the horns. It's the Canadians, the ones that we saw as a socialistic state, far beyond more socialistic than we even saw Australia. And yet it's the Canadians that are stepping to the first and second plate. It's the Canadians that are standing their ground. They're showing more courage than many people here in the U.S. have been showing as of late. They're showing that you don't have to go to your state capital or to your national capital and allow the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter and the FBI, the corrupt FBI and the corrupt CIA, to throw a net over you and pull you in while they allow CNN to walk out the back door of the Capitol. It angers me so much, Bronco, to remember standing up there. I went up to Oregon, and I was visiting my friends in Oregon on January the 6th, and we were in Salem at the Capitol, and they had a huge TV screen right across the street from the Oregon-Salem Capitol, and I was visiting my Oregonian friends there, and we were watching what was happening in Washington, D.C., and we saw the blood. It didn't matter what color they were because they weren't just black Capitol Police doing it. But we saw a black Capitol Police officer, a female, in uniform with her black mask over her face, maybe 5'4", 5'5". She's pulling back the barriers and waving in the people. And they were Black Lives Matter, and Antifa. Some of their faces, I recognize them from when I was there just 2 months before in November of 2020. I was in November for the Freedom March for Stop the Steal. And here I am in Salem looking on the TV screen and recognizing some of the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa that were standing across from us right next to the Supreme Court. And they were chiding us and screaming and threatening us. And it was a police officers of D.C. and the state troopers that were keeping their bodies between us and them because they knew the Black Lives Matter and Antifa would try to pull and throw the first punch. And they were protecting us from these very violent, very radical communist Marxist ideologies that were being spewed at us. And so here I am in Salem looking at a TV screen and recognizing some of those Black Lives Matter Antifa. And we had been told they were going to do this. I still have a text message on my phone where some of them had a private message to each other. Wear the mega hats. Wear the mega t-shirts. Keep them in your backpack. And right when you get onto the grounds of the Capitol, take them out of your bag and put them on so you blend in like you're a Trump supporter. And all the Trump supporters were still back blocks and blocks away finishing listening to President Trump with his speech. So it was a Black Lives Matter and Antifa that were waved through by the Capitol police officers. And then you see a camera going into the Capitol, going through the front doors, going into the rotunda. And who was it? It was CNN. CNN, their reporters and their photographers were shooting live video, laughing and cheering that they had made it inside the Capitol. And they were walking through the different hallways of the Capitol. Why is it that so many of our people, our patriots, who never went inside the Capitol, never broke windows, never stomped on a police officer, never did any of the things they were accused of, who we actually have video and pictures of them standing outside in the crowds of people around the Capitol? They're sitting in jail and prison right now being abused and tortured by the Washington, D.C. police officers, U.S. Marshals. And yet CNN, they're not being arrested. They're not being charged with actually breaching into the Capitol. Now, we know the Capitol is our house. But why is there selective enforcement going on? And this is what's happening, Bronco, in Canada. Pastor Arthur Polowski, who is a friend of mine now, he was a guest on this show here on Revolution Radio. He was arrested in the middle of a freeway in Calgary, in Canada. Because he dared to keep his church open. Because he dared to feed the poor and the homeless in the streets of Canada in the middle of the snowstorm, in the middle of a snow country with snow 6 feet high on the sidewalks. And they kept breaking into his church right in the middle of his church services, disrupting his church services. And he stood up to the mayor, who happened to be, and it has nothing to do with the religion, but happened to be Muslim. And the mayor of Calgary had decided that all the people that were Muslim had a right to go on the streets without masks and celebrate Ramadan. So here's a Muslim mayor of Calgary, Canada, who's allowing the Muslim people to go in the streets without masks and celebrate and be in crowds. And yet he is attacking the churches for having 20, 30, 40, 50 people in their church service. The hypocrisy. And though between Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, and the mayor of Calgary, Canada, are arresting a pastor, throwing him into a jail, putting him on the floor with no bedding, no pillows, sleeping on hard concrete, torturing him, making fun of him, spitting at him, not allowing him to have an attorney. And now, because he dared to have a church service a few weeks ago, and he met with all the truckers, and he was encouraging them to stand their ground, to not be violent, not be confrontational, but stand their ground. Because he dared to have a church service since last September of 2021. They arrested him again. They have him in solitary confinement. He only gets an hour a day to be with his lawyers. He's being forced to live under the most inhumane conditions there in Canada. And I'm thinking this song for Canada that was written in 2015 by, you know, Ileana, this could be our country. This song could be our song. This is a song of all the people of the world. We need unity. We need freedom. We need healing of our land. We need to tear down these walls that the Marxists and the communists are building to divide us. They're turning people and family members against each other of who's vaxxed and who isn't vaxxed. Who wants to drink the Kool-Aid and who's too smart to drink the Kool-Aid? And it just breaks my heart, Bronco, because, you know, people are waking up, but they're not waking up fast enough, Bronco. Back to you.
No, Maggie, there is no time for a waking up. Who is awake? Is awake. Who is not, is not. I hear some echo. Let me read you something, if you do not mind. There is a book It's called Instructions for the Government of Armies of the United States in the Field. General Order Number 100, the Labor Code, 1863, signed by Abraham Lincoln. All right. Labor Code, Article 45. All captures and booty belong, according to the modern law of war, primarily to the government of the captor. How do you like that? Now,
wow.
Let me just divulge a little bit, if you do not mind. Can I?
No.
All right.
Sure.
So the booties belong to the government of the captor. Now, we're going to start substituting some numbers in the equation. Government of the captor. What about if the government is a private corporation? Who gets the booty? The private corporation. Yay! All right, another thing. Isn't that an incentive for the government to go into a war? Ding dong! Yay! Article 45. Let me read it to you. Article 56. A prisoner of war is a subject to no punishment for being a public enemy, nor is any revenge wreaked upon him by the intentional infliction of any suffering or disgrace or cruel imprisonment, want of food, by mutilation, death, or any other barbarity. Article 56. Now, question. These guys who were caught at the Capitol on January 6th, the worst case scenario, they are, let's say, public enemy. Let's call them belligerents. Let's call them prisoners of war. There is nothing worse than that. That is the lowest status you can have, being a prisoner of war. And that is what they are because there are no formal charges. But given if they are, why do they treat them this way? It says no disgrace, cruel imprisonment, want of food. All of this stuff is happening to them. They're torturing them, put them in the cans there. They cannot see a daylight. They may have one day, 1 hour in a day, if they are lucky. So if that is the case, they are not obeying even their own treaties of war. How unscrupulous they are. How unscrupulous. Much, much less to think like, oh, they're doing that to their own citizens. No, they're not. See, long time ago, they made the U.S. citizens enemies of the government. Enemies. And I repeat this one. And the Capitol is not our building, is not our building, our representatives. Folks, please get it. Washington, D.C. is a foreign country. They do not represent us, guys. That's a corporation. All these dudes, 500 and whatever, the representatives, we call them in the Congress, they do not represent us. Are you kidding me? You haven't figured it out? President does not represent us. President is the president of the U.S. corporation or the United States corporation. I have seen signatures, Trump signatures that says president of president slash CEO. And it's his signature. CEO of what? Are we supposed to have a CEO as a president? Hello, is it a corporation? Yes, it is. So he is the CEO of the corporation. Corporations have policies. Corporations have owners or shareholders. Now, when the corporations become government, what does it say? Article 56. You have to treat them. No intentional infliction of any suffering of disgrace. Excuse me. That is for the governments. This is not a government. This is a private corporation. This is a private war. This is a privateering. This is a piracy on land. How long does it take for people to get it? We have in Washington, D.C., pirates on land. How long does it get? You know, all this Washington Memorial and all of that. Folks, that is all for them. It's not for you. It's not your building. Washington, D.C., District of Columbia is a country by itself that belongs to the corporation that is registered in Puerto Rico. Hello. Hello. Please get it. This is not your government. These are occupiers. You are a belligerent. You are being declared as a belligerent. And they can come out and take you anytime they want under this law that I just read it to you. Everything you have can be confiscated. It belongs to the government. Hello. What they need to do is just declare you as an enemy combatant, armed or unarmed. For you who think that because you are a civilian, you can get away with it. No, you're not. Belligerent can be armed or not armed. The treatment could be exactly the same. You know, they're not respecting their own laws. This is lawlessness. How long does it take for people to get it? How long? I mean, are you 6 years old? You've been told lies and lies and lies and a code, and you still believe that? Come on, folks. You know, the head is not just for a haircut. Gotta do a little bit of thinking. These guys have been getting away with this for the last 230 years. This is not your country. You think it is yours. They're telling it is yours. Well, let's examine it if it's true or not. Why are the people being arrested down for walking into their supposedly their House of Representatives? Why? Give me one reasonable explanation. Why? Because they have been already declared as belligerent. That was a trap. It was a setup. They moved the barriers. People went there. They didn't steal. I didn't see any explosions, theft, breaking, rape. I didn't see that. People were taking pictures. It was more actually amusing to them. It's like walking in a museum. And yet, they have been declared enemy combatants, unarmed, belligerents. And they've been treated like that, even though, according to their freaking law, labor code says, no, you cannot treat your enemies that way. So who is breaking the law here, I'm asking you? Who? Huh? Who is breaking the law? Now, breaking the law means lawlessness, isn't it? You tell me, what is breaking the law? If somebody doesn't go but his own law, isn't that lawlessness?
Yes.
True. By definition is lawlessness. Is anybody accountable for this lawlessness? No. What does that mean? What is the legal remedy or lawful remedy that is at your disposal to get justice? You tell me. You tell me. When there are no charges. 1 year, no charges. What happened with the right for speedy trial? You have no rights. Hello, dude. Hey, dude, let me wake you up. Let me slap you a little bit. Let me kick you. You have no rights. Can't you see it? What does it take for you to see it, man? A stick, a 2x4 between your horns? What does it take to see it? You have no rights, dude. You never had them. They taught you that you have. Now, since you're experienced this one and you still have eyes, please open your eyes. Please don't close your eyes. You know? I don't believe that you are that stupid, but if you are, you choose to be. You have no freedom, dude. You're a slave. You know? I don't want to go into it. I mean, I can be until the cows come home. I don't want to do that. I just want to slap you to tell you that you don't have constitution. There are two constitutions that I'm aware of. Maybe there are three or four or five. But you're referring to the constitution was the one original from 1789, started in the independence, the war of independence, and so on. The British never left. You know, also, oh, well, we won the war of independence. No, it was a deal struck. It was a deal. The British were here. The British were here 20 years. They were walking up and down Philadelphia. with our troops together. Our troops were sent without the pay until they came and they wanted to, actually they burned, I think, the capital. They burned it. They wanted to kill everybody because, you know, Washington didn't pay them the salary. So they had emergency meeting. They came, borrowed some money. King George helped them, gave the money to pay the soldiers. You know, what you have learned, it's a BS. That is what I want to say. I don't want to irritate anybody. I'm just challenging you. If you think you're right, and try to convince me otherwise. I've been hearing both stories for 30 years. Now I start digging into something else, and I see it. I see it. I'm finding documents here. This was a deal struck. The Virginia Company became United States Corporation. You know, Lincoln was a esquire, an attorney, member of the British accredited registry, the bar. As such, he could not have held that office because we didn't recognize in the first constitution titles of nobility. Nobody with a title of nobility can occupy an office, period. Well, what happened? What happened? He became president, not of the country. He became president of a corporation. And all these dudes who signed it at the North, the representatives, they became board members of the corporation. And nobody told us that. Yay! What a fraud. And we are building for these guys monuments, liberator, whatever. Why did he get assassinated? Because he didn't return the money. That's why he got assassinated. So what can I tell you? Back to you, Maggie.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree. You know, and one of the things that's really heartbreaking is the fact that, you know, so many people are choosing Bronco to be dumbed down. They're choosing to be led around by their noses. You know, they're choosing to be told what to do. It's like people don't want to think for themselves. They don't want to problem solve. The last three generations through the public schools have been basically found that when they're being taught, they're not being taught to think outside the box. They're not being taught to problem solve. They're not being taught to analyze and compare. And so therefore, they're becoming mindless robots, as you call them, right? Don't you agree?
I call them zombies.
Okay. So if we call them zombies, the walking zombies, the walking dead, there's so many of them right now that are beginning to laugh and say, oh, nothing's happening because we would see it on the news. You wouldn't be able to keep it off the news. But how many of them don't seem to realize that the news is so controlled by the George Soros and a group like Knight Rider and everything. There's so much money behind it that some of these radio talk show hosts and some of these broadcasters, if they want to keep a job, they have to walk the party line. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. I agree with you completely. And that is not just here in this country. It's everywhere. In Europe is the same thing. So much money came up and they corrupted the people. Now people are eating each other. There is a division among people. There is no policy that can succeed now. The divide has become so big on the top of this COVID thing that is going on the top of it. The divide among people is so big. There is no solution to this one. There is no policy that would unite them. It has to go through where it has to go. Some sort of civil war, some sort of international war, some sort of third world war. Don't know. Armed conflict. It has to be. There is no solution. They have created a situation that no peaceful remedy can be found. It's unfortunate, but it is true. And our obligation is, I'm drinking some water. Our obligation to see the reality.
Oh, I agree. But, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that Carl Sagan, you know who he was. He was a genius.
Yes.
And I wanted to play what his final words were because he was warning us, we the people. And I don't think people were really listening. So this was his final words.
Hi. Carl Sagan could not have predicted 2021, but he did see it coming. He wrote the following back in 1995, and we quote, "I have a foreboding of an America in my children's or grandchildren's time, when the United States is a service and information economy, when nearly all the manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues, when the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question those in authority, when, clutching our crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, we slide almost without noticing back into superstition and darkness. The dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content in the enormously influential media. The 30-second sound bites now down to 10 seconds or less. Lowest common denominator programming. Credulous presentations on pseudoscience and superstition. But especially a kind of celebration of ignorance." Roll that around for a while. Those were among his final published words. He died 10 months later. Here we are 25 years later realizing just what he was trying to tell us back then.
So I'd like to hear you comment on that, Bronco.
You know, he's right. I mean, it doesn't take long to figure this one out. They're trying to do a new world order. They're being driven by other things. And the new world order cannot come without first going through a chaos. Because right now we have an order. Okay? They want to accelerate that to jump into another level of order. But before they do that, it has to be a disorder. Because otherwise, they cannot do evolutionary. I don't think that they have the time to do that. Anytime you have a war, it speeds up 20 times the process. And, you know, also the profits is 20 times bigger in war than in peace. So it is accelerant. War is means of acceleration, the natural events. That is what I know about war. So if they're going to do that, they have to create a chaos. And they can create a chaos. There is no industry or area that they do not control. So, a long time ago, the wife of Rothschild, Amschel Rothschild, the first one, she said to some journalist, she said, "There will be no wars in the world if my sons decide so." It means if my sons don't want wars, there won't be any wars. And she had five sons that became CEOs or presidents of the central banks in five different countries. That was France, Germany, Holland. I forgot which one, another one at that time, talking about 18th century. So these guys then had the capabilities of starting a war and financing both sides of the war. How much more they have now? Hello? Enormous power. Together with the Pope and the crown. You can call it the queen. You can call it the temple crown, the Jesuits down in the city of London. Either or. They're all together. And they have so much power. They can create war in any country, whatever they want to. All of these dudes that we call them leaders today, they were once upon a time young world leaders. Putin was part of it. Merkel was part of it. The Macron was part of it. This dude in Canada, Castro, Fidel, whatever. Whatever his name. Justin Fidel Castro, whatever. So he was part of it too. You know, I mean, they can start a war anytime they want. Who's gonna suffer? We the people. What's going to happen with them? Nothing. Nothing. You know, they will just clean up the mess and start all over again. And whoever survives, enslave them all over again. But, you know, they will hide, of course. They will not die. They will hide. It's called the controlled demolition. So war is a racket. War is a racket. Has always been a racket. You know, there is no, you know, how can I say, oh, one country won, the other one lost. No, 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 no. This is what they want you to think. No. The only loser you can count on is the people. And the only winner you can count as is the people who started the war. So there are always winners and losers. The losers are the people in every war. Don't look at the war, France versus Germany or America versus Russia. As many Russians will die as Americans. That is not it. People who start the war are starting with a purpose. And the purpose is to accelerate the social, how can I say, evolution, if I can say it. Social evolution. Speed up everything 20 times. If it takes them 20 years, in 1 year of war, they will accomplish it. So war is a racket. It is means for them to rule. It is a threat for everybody who doesn't want to dance at their music, and they're using it. And we the people, we have no control over it. They can start a war with Russia tomorrow. Is anybody asking you whether you like it or you don't like it? Is anybody asking your opinion? Whose opinion matters? You think our opinion matters? Nobody's opinion matters. Their opinion matters. And they can start it. They can fire from missiles, make a false flag, and there you go. There you go. Back to you, man.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, a lot of people in the military have been telling us behind the scenes what's going on. And people are listening. The point is that the so-called white hats, who supposedly were supposed to be there for us, actually used the situation in the Capitol on January the 6th so they could get in under the skies of cover and get the records they wanted to get out of there, get the documents they wanted out of there. But what's really interesting, two things happened today. I want to put a shout out to Samantha Frost. She is an Air Force veteran. She's been here on the show before. She was studied at UC Davis, the communist university in California. She got her master's degree. She worked for the Georgia State Troopers, the Idaho State Troopers, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And she and I both have talked on the phone quite a bit. We've texted each other a lot. We've been talking a lot. And one of the things that she made a comment to me, which I'd never thought about before. Now she knows, you know, she did 4 years compared to how long I was in. And so she knew that I knew a lot more about certain things that basically some things we can't talk about till we've been out of the military 10 years. We sign NDAs or non-disclosure statements or that we certain things we can't talk about. But there's certain things we understand we don't dare talk about until it's finally declassified. And one of the things we knew was happening many years ago was that our government and other governments as well have been cooperating with each other, have found a way to time travel. So whenever you see something up on TV that's a movie or science fiction, better believe it's a spell to get us used to things like there, you know, these are things could happen in the future, but they'll probably never happen. More than likely, they're already happening now. One of the things that we were finding is that people were able, assassins, were able to astral project. They were actually able to be induced through hypnosis and other means to astral project. And they found a way to be able to time travel, not only time travel into the past, but time travel into the future. Now, a lot of people were wondering who Q is. To me, I believe that Q was a military psyops to basically dumb down the American people and the world's populace, sort of like hopium, and make us think that things are going to get better if we just stay quiet, stay complacent, you know, take the vaxes, wear the mask, just be good little boys and girls, and sooner or later we will have a revolution of the heart, mind, and souls, and we will have peace again. which is a lot of what Sammy Mendoza believes. And I understand that as you think, you create. We are creators. Thoughts are things. So if you put out negative thoughts, negative energy, and negative feelings to those around you, you're going to end up having them react accordingly with negativity. If you put out positive thoughts and forgiveness and love to those surrounding you, even your enemies, you'll have it boomerang back on you tenfold. And Jesus Christ taught us this, that what you put out to the world will come back at you 10 times 10 or 10 times 40. So if there was such thing as time travel, and I'm saying if, is it possible that all the messages put out to us by Q or QAnon were actually those in the highest levels of some sort of organization or government that was able to time travel into the future, see what was going to happen, and then come back and put those in their hidden messages on Q or QAnon? I don't know. I don't know because I haven't been there. I don't do these things. There's so many different levels of security clearances that are even above the President of the United States. There's people that have secret clearances even higher than the United States sitting president. So I don't know. But what I do know is that if we continue to talk about there being a blood revolution, a blood insurrection, then we are only going to end up having it bouncing back at us tenfold. I would like to think that by working with our local communities like you're doing, like Mike is doing, like Sammy Mendoza is doing, like Chris Bumbles is doing, like Sherry Duvall in Idaho is doing, I believe if we can work at a local level and get enough of the people in our local communities to put out positive vibrations, positive thoughts, can-do attitude, that we can turn this around without having bloodshed. Do you not think that's possible?
You know, quiet, peaceful revolution doesn't exist. Give me one example in the world, one in the history, where peacefully they came to have power or whatever. No, it has to happen with resistance. The resistance has two ends, being accepted by the enemy and backing off, coming with another game, or doubling down. So both are valid options. Sometimes they back off. India, the British backed off. They got them different way. That's all it is. The first revolution in America, 1776, they backed off, got them in the other way. See, they convinced people that America won the revolution. Really? Then how come we're slaves? And which is the most interesting, slavery is banned by international treaty. But there is a something in the commercial law that says you can have a contract, perfectly legal, to sell your labor and yourself. That is a contract. That's lawful. So, you can have a cake and you can eat the cake. In all of this mess, I know who is the winner, who is the loser. The losers are we the people. Always. Always. The only way what I see it here, you say bloodless revolution. There is no such a thing. We're going to pay with blood no matter what. We're going to pay with lives no matter what. Look at around. 2 billion, 2.5 billion of vaccines. How many lives will that take? Isn't that a war? By a definition, isn't that a genocide? I ask anybody, challenge, isn't that a genocide? Genocide, yes, is a form of a war. Hello. Genocide is a form of a war. One of the modality of a war. So, now, again, who is the winner? Who is the loser? The winner is, don't know, the loser is we.
Well, so, I'll tell you right now, Bronco, I just went to TalkStream Live. And right there in TalkStream Live, both Studio A and B are in the very top 20 on the first row of TalkStream Live. So I want to thank all of our TalkStream Live listeners out there, because right now we are number 16 out of 100-something radio stations that are streaming, that are live streaming right now. There's over 100 radio talk shows that are live streaming on TalkStream Live, www.TalkStreamLive, streaming radio. And we are number 16. Guess who is number 17?
Don't know.
Alex Jones. And yay. Lars Larson is down in the bottom row I think he's like in the 60th or 70th place, something like that. So yeah, so we've already moved into 16th place. Studio A is right ahead of us, and we've got Alex Jones as number 17. So
well, you know what?
Not bad, Bronco.
Not bad. Thank God. But you know what? Our audience is much more mature and knowledgeable than Alex Jones's audience. I guarantee you that. You can put two of our guys, they will answer 20 questions that 200 guys cannot pose those questions in the Alex Jones. So, all right, where were you? Where were we?
Well, what we were talking about was you believe that there's no way we can avoid a bloody revolution. That's what you were telling me. And I was trying to share with you that Catherine, who is listening to our show right now in Grants Pass, Oregon, who's a friend with Mike, she said, I am glad that we are all connecting and finding our way to confront these dark forces. This is called the Great Awakening.
Yes, it is. Indeed, it is. See, there is no freedom without knowing the truth. You have to know the truth in order to be free. Otherwise, you're going to be a slave to a lie. 1,000 possibilities if you go in that rabbit hole. You're not going to get out. All right. Again, the revolution. The revolution is happening right now, but it is one-sided. They did the revolution on us. Let's call it a war. We are the ones who are doing the dying. They're ones who are doing the murdering. So again, you have separation. Ones who do the murdering, the one who do the dying. What I'm saying is to everybody to understand, this is a controlled revolution or controlled war, which has been very well defined and predicted the outcome. We're the losers, they're the winners. What I'm saying is something else. If you mess up their accounts, they will get lost in a mess. They will lose the control, which means it's not going to be a controlled demolition anymore, which gives us a little bit of chance of A, getting even, B, becoming freer, C, planning for future and never ever to occur. So by taking it to their home, put it this way, by converting from a controlled demolition into uncontrolled demolition, the demolition will happen no matter what. The thing is, when their blood starts pouring, they will lose control. See, dead people do not accomplish anything. Dead people cannot press buttons. Dead people cannot talk. Okay? I know that. Dead enemies can do nothing to you. So don't worry about the dead. The thing is, if you are alive and you are hoping that this will have mercy, you are very mistaken. They have no mercy. They have no love for humanity. These are demons in a human skin. Let's call it in a human skin. These are demons. Don't have the genetic makeup as we have. No. They want to change us. They want to kill us, deform us, terraform for them, whoever, whatever it is, their future that they're expecting. We are their enemy. They want to get rid of us. I do not know what can I do to make it more obvious or explicit or understandable. So if you do not know your enemy, you have no chance of winning.
That's
you must
true.
Know your enemy. And Sun Tzu, the strategy says, out of 100 battles, you will have 100 victories if you know your enemy as you know yourself. And these are our enemies. Back to you.
No, I agree. And you know what? A little bit of positive. I was getting in my car today and I was happened to pull up with my friend right in front of Starbucks. She wanted to go in and get something to drop off at her lawyer's. And one of the things that, you know, I had been sharing, because I had been just talking to my lawyer myself and had some discussions with him regarding some things. And one of my, you know, I have many friends where I live. Many of them have been part of the Republican Party. You know, I want to say hello to Pat out there. I want to say Pat Finley is originally from, I think, Southern California. She was a trucker. I want to say hello to Samantha. I want to say hello to Rochelle. I want to say hello to Loretta. And then my other friend who was with me today. And one of the comments we were making regarding the shots, the inoculations, and there was 4 teenage boys, about juniors or seniors in high school, that were getting into their car. And one of them heard what I said through my open window. And he basically put his thumb up and said, you know what? Those vaccinations, they're not vaccinations. They're inoculations. And he says, no way in hell. And then the other 3 teenage boys with him, about juniors or seniors in high school, all basically in chorus, said, that's right. We're not going to comply. A girl was in another car with her boyfriend. They were getting out, and she was smiling and kind of gave them and me the thumbs up. Well, as we got ready to pull away, I pulled up behind the car, and the kid had his door open. And my girlfriend and I called out to him. They said, are you really sincere? You're not going to take the jab? He said, oh, no. My mother won't let me take the jab. And he says, we've looked into it, and we realize that the mainstream media is not telling us the truth and what's really happening around the world. So if you see 4 young people like that, plus the other 2 young people in the opposite car, that's 6 young people in their late teens, early 20s, that are all saying, we're not going to comply, and we know that our parents were wise in not letting us take the shot. Do you know that's going to be like a ripple effect? And they're going to be talking to their friends at school. They're going to be talking to the people at work that they work with. You know, people are awakening. And I just wanted to say, Broncos, thank you so much for being here tonight on the show with me again. I'm so thrilled to have you as my co-host. And I hope we're going to be able to do this for a long time into the future, right? Maybe. We don't always agree on everything. I would like to believe and hope that there's not going to be a bloody revolution. I don't think you're hoping for one, but I think you believe it's inevitable, right?
Oh, I'm not hoping. I'm not an evil person. I do not wish anybody any evil. No, I don't see it exit anything but that. That is what I'm saying. I don't see it. I think they will not let us be alone or let us alone. They would not stop it. They will prosecute us under everything and anything. That is what I'm saying. Nothing
and
less.
I agree. And look at Pastor Arthur Pulowalski up in Alberta, Canada, in Calgary, sitting as a prisoner of war in isolation 23 hours a day because he dared to stand up against Justin Trudeau, the mayor of his town, and say, I have a right to preach to the people. I have a right to give them food in the streets. I have a right to tell them to stand their ground. So, folks, we're going to end with this Eisenhower's warning, and we'll be back on Monday with you, Sammy Mendoza. Thank you, Bronco. I'm going to play Eisenhower's warning.
Thank you. Good night.
Here we go, Bronco.
We must guard against the unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. And the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. We must also be aware of the danger that public policy could itself become the capital of the scientific, technological elite.
Eisenhower's warning. Good night, Bronco. Talk to you later.
Good night, Peggy. Good night, Patriots.
Thank you for tuning in, folks. Bronco and I will be back next Wednesday night in Studio B, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific. Good night, y'all. We'll be right back.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest! You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time across the dimension.